Jesus said about himself, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." One of the most cherished images of Jesus in the Bible is that of a shepherd. The image of Jesus as a shepherd is one that is found in paintings and sculptures and music and literature dating back to the first century. Seeing Jesus as our provider, as our protector, our rescuer, our leader, it's reassuring and it's comforting. To be cared for and loved like that is a longing commonly shared. It's one of the seven I am statements that Jesus made about himself, recorded in John's account of the life of Jesus, which we commonly refer to as the Gospel of John. Each one of these statements is a thought bomb. The seven declarations that Jesus made about himself are these. In John 6:35, he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In John 8:12, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In John 10:9, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die." John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And finally, John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, each of these I am declarations by Jesus are worthy of being studied. They each contain life-changing truths for us to consider. But today, we're going to focus on this declaration that Jesus makes about himself found in John 10:11. If you've got your Bible, you can turn over to John chapter 10, verse 11. And your Bible can be an app on your phone nowadays, so if you don't have a book with you, no problem. Most of us have a Bible app on our phone these days, I think. If for no other reason, as we were shopping through the app store, I went, there's a Bible app. That'd be kind of cool, I guess. So dig that one out. You might not have looked at that app in quite some time, but today you can use it. John 10, verse 11. Jesus is speaking and he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And then he begins to explain what that means by comparing the good shepherd to the hired hand. The hired hand, the mere employee, won't risk his life for the sake of the sheep. It's just a job for him. His main concern will be his own safety rather than the safety of the sheep. When a serious threat comes along, like a wolf, he abandons the sheep and he runs for cover. These aren't his sheep. There's a limit to what he's willing to do. He isn't getting paid enough to risk his life for someone else's sheep. The good shepherd, in contrast, gives his very life for the sake of the sheep. He'll do whatever it takes to care for the sheep, to protect them, to keep them safe, to ensure their survival and well-being. Jesus is the good shepherd giving his very life for us. He will do whatever it takes to ensure our survival and well-being. Jesus doesn't watch over us because he has been hired to do it. He does it because he loves us. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. it says. In saying this, Jesus was pointing to his own death and what it would accomplish for us. His death was not just a death. It was a death for a reason, a purpose. It would accomplish something. It was a death unlike any other death ever was. The death of Jesus Christ was a sacrifice for the sins of humanity. As the good shepherd, he laid his life down for us. Mark 10:45, Jesus said about himself, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The word translated into English as ransom means the price paid to release or to set free. Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom to set us free from the penalty that we deserve for our sin. He purchased our freedom with his own life. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Jesus says here in this passage in John 10, he says, "I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." This is an interesting thing that Jesus says here. Not everyone, he says, will recognize Jesus for who he is. Not everyone will know him. Not everyone will see him as their good shepherd. And there are some who will recognize him as their good shepherd and follow him. They will know him. Do you recognize Jesus as your good shepherd? Do you know him? Jesus is not talking about people knowing about him, knowing information about him. He's seeking a personal relationship with us. Do we know him? The salvation that Jesus has accomplished is offered to everyone, but it's not automatically credited to everyone. We each need to see Jesus as our own good shepherd. We each need to see Jesus as the one who died for us, as our good shepherd, laying down his life for us personally. He continues on in verse 16 here in this passage. He says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Who are these other sheep that Jesus is talking about here? You and me. Jesus was thinking about you and me when he was walking this planet 2,000 years ago. At the time Jesus said these words, the people who were being invited to come to Jesus were the Jewish people living in the region of Israel. A day was coming, though, when the invitation would be given to all people everywhere through all of time, Jews and non-Jews alike, because Jesus is not only Savior for the Jews, he's Savior for the whole world. He says, "And there shall be one flock and one shepherd." All people are invited to come to the Good Shepherd. No one is excluded. We live in a divided world, and those divisions seem to keep getting bigger rather than smaller. Just in our own country, the divisions seem to be so deep and so insurmountable and so unsolvable. The political and the social and the cultural divides can feel overwhelming sometimes. How will we ever overcome all of it? Well, it may sound cliche, but Jesus Christ is the answer to those divisions. He is calling all people to himself as the one shepherd leading one flock, all following him, all listening to his voice. Think about all the voices speaking in our day, clamoring for our attention. Who do we listen to? Who do we trust? Who do we follow? Listen to Jesus. Follow Jesus. We can trust him. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." I believe him. He's the good shepherd. Verse 17 says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The death of Jesus was entirely voluntary on his part. No one took his life from him. No one forced him to die. No one coerced him. No one tricked him into doing it. He was not a helpless victim. He understood completely what he was doing, and he freely chose to give his life up for us. He had many opportunities to avoid the fate that awaited him in Jerusalem, but he chose not to. We're told in Luke 9:51 that as the time drew near, it says that he actually resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Even though Jesus knew what awaited him, he didn't shrink back from it. The rejection and ridicule, the beatings, having his beard ripped out, being spit on, being whipped nearly to death, and then being nailed to a wooden cross to go through a slow, humiliating, agonizing death in full view of a scoffing crowd. He knew it was all coming and didn't turn away from any of it. Jesus had the power to prevent his execution if he had chosen to. You might remember when the soldiers came to arrest him that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some of his followers drew their swords to fight for him, but Jesus told them to put their swords away. He told them if he wanted, he could have a legion of angels come to help him. But that was not the way it was to be played out. This was not the time for some great war between the forces of good and evil. Instead, this was a time of unimagined submission by the Son of God giving up his life for us. When Jesus was brought before the Roman governor Pilate the next day to have his fate decided, Pilate said to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" And Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Jesus' arrest and trial and torture and execution were all part of God's plan. This was how the Good Shepherd would save us, would protect us, would gain our freedom, would provide for us a new life in relationship with God forever. You remember John 3:16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus not only had the power and authority to choose if he would die, but he also had the power and authority to take his life up again. He says here in these verses, "I lay down my life only to take it up again. And again, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." In saying that, Jesus was predicting his resurrection. And it would be his resurrection that would prove above all else that he was indeed who he claimed to be. His power over death, that he was indeed the Son of God with power to do all that he claimed that he would do. Verse 19, it says, "The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, 'He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?' But others said, 'These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" This passage that we are looking at here is part of a larger conversation that Jesus was having with the community and religious leaders of the day following the healing of a blind man by Jesus. Rather than accepting the restoring of this blind man's sight as the amazing miracle that it was, these leaders, they were conducting an investigation to try to explain away the miracle and to criticize Jesus for doing the healing on a Sabbath day, which was against their rules. Jesus said to them, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." The leaders, they scoffed at him. "What? Are we blind too?" they said. And Jesus then made this statement. He says, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." Jesus then made reference to a familiar prophecy spoken by God through the prophet Ezekiel, found in Ezekiel 34. In the prophecy, God condemns the leaders of the people as bad shepherds. And in response, the Lord says he himself will come and care for his people as a good shepherd. When Jesus called himself in this conversation the good shepherd, he was claiming to be the promised Messiah. The leaders, they understood the inference that Jesus was making, and they were not happy about it. And so we have these verses in these words in 19 through 21. People at the time, they were having a hard time deciding what to think about Jesus. Some of them wanted to write him off as a raving lunatic or demon-possessed. Others said that couldn't be right because of the things that Jesus was doing, like healing this blind man. God was obviously working through Jesus. C.S. Lewis, he made the point that there are really only three possible conclusions about Jesus that Jesus has left available for us. He was either crazy or demon-possessed, or who he claimed to be, God the Son, Savior of the world. The one conclusion that he has not left open to us, though, is that he was just one of the great moral teachers of the ages, like Confucius or Muhammad, Buddha, and Socrates. See, for someone to say the things that Jesus said about himself, the person would have to be mentally ill or possessed by a demon, or really be who he said he was. There are few, if any, who would be willing to concede that Jesus was mentally ill, though. Could someone who is on virtually every top 10 list of the greatest people who have ever lived be a sincerely deluded fool? Not likely. Again, there are few, if any, who would be willing to concede that Jesus was an agent of evil. Someone who sought to deceive and manipulate people for his own evil ends. I mean, who believes that? This conclusion is rejected for the same reasons that we reject the idea that Jesus was crazy. He's regarded as one of the greatest people who have ever lived. The 3 short years of his public life that are recorded for us in the 4 Gospels have had more impact on human history than any other person who has ever lived. You think about that. The most reasonable conclusion about Jesus that we can come to is that he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Good Shepherd, the Messiah, the Savior, worthy to be worshiped and served. We're each faced with the same questions that the people were faced with in that day. Who is Jesus, and how am I going to respond to him? Am I going to write him off as being demon-possessed or raving mad? Or am I prepared to accept the things that Jesus says about himself? Is he the Messiah, the Savior, the Good Shepherd, the Son of God, who came and died for our sins and came back to life on the 3rd day, overcoming death for all who would believe and put their trust in him as their Savior and Lord? In closing, Jesus continues to extend the same invitation to us in our day that he did to people in that day. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Good Shepherd is calling each of us to himself. In the midst of this chaotic, confusing, callous world, he promises to give our souls rest. Have you come to Jesus Christ and accepted him as your Good Shepherd, as your Savior? You can do that today, right now, in this moment even. Acknowledge your need to him. Ask him to forgive you for your sin and living your life as your own shepherd rather than following him. Ask him to come into your life and begin changing you. Start following him as your shepherd, listening and obeying his voice rather than your own voice. Do that with a simple prayer. Reflecting on Jesus as the Good Shepherd, I want to leave us with one of the most well-known passages in the Bible that portrays the Lord as our shepherd. Psalm 23. I pray everyone here has Jesus as their shepherd so that this psalm describes your relationship with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, you are the Good Shepherd who has laid down your life for us. We thank you for that, and we thank you, Lord, that you took your life back up in resurrection. And now we have the hope for eternal life with you. I pray, Lord, that you would touch each heart today. You would draw each of us to yourself today, Lord. You would renew our relationship with you if we've already got one. And Lord, I pray for those who today is maybe the first day they have ever considered having you as their Good Shepherd. I pray today would be the day that they do that, that even in this moment, they would say, "Lord, come, be my shepherd. Forgive me for being my own shepherd. I want to follow you and obey and listen to your voice." Lord, make these things so for us today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.